B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
We do have him on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast, NBA analyst for ESPN, Tim Legler. Tim, thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
Mike, my man. What's up, buddy?
How you doing?
How are you?
All right, listen.
Good, man.
I was watching you about a week and a half ago. It was before they made the acquisition of Robinson and Burks. And I thought your assessment on the Sixers was right on. And you were saying they kind of had a turn-off mentality. They lacked consistent energy and hunger. And it was peculiar to you. Do you still see the same thing? Now, two games in with the new crew, where do you think they are?
Well, first of all, I love the addition of Burks. Obviously, he's somebody that is going to be very valuable to them, particularly in the playoffs when they have another guy now that can go get his own shot off the dribble. I mean, it's just really important. You have someone that can give you some offense that they can go create on their own, and he can do that. So I do like the addition. It's given them more depth, and that's a great thing for Brett Brown because I was worried about their bench going into the playoffs. As far as their mentality, for me, it really revolves around Embiid and how he is committing himself to play. And if you look at the way he played against the Clippers right before the break, you look at the way he played again last night, those are great signs because he is virtually unstoppable when he makes up his mind that he wants to be a power player. He has made comments, and he made some last night after the game, that you know part of the reason he hasn't done that all the time or didn't do it earlier in the year because he's trying to make other people comfortable. And now he's not worried about making anybody comfortable. He's just going to play his game. I hope that stuff's all true, but it's such a small sample size of, you know, consistency with him that I'm not completely bought in that you're going to be able to see that now the rest of the season and then through multiple rounds in the playoffs and ultimately lead them to getting to the finals. I think he's still a guy that I watch some nights and I get frustrated with his inability to want to play the way he played last night. And I've said, Mike, I've said this repeatedly. I think he's the only guy I've seen since Shaquille O'Neal in his prime that you could actually run a low post power offense through and win a title. But you have to commit to playing that way 90% of the time. Mix in a perimeter shot here and there, mix in a three here and there. I get he's going to take some of those because he's skilled. When he's like 50-50 down the road, perimeter player, post player, it's not good enough. What you've seen these last two big wins is a guy that's really determined to play power basketball and prove that he's by far the best big man in the game. So it gives me hope, but it's a small sample size for me to be totally bought in.
So he always seems to have a story on why he doesn't dominate,
yeah,
which is really interesting. And I hope you're right, and I hope now that he, like these little things that he says, I hope it motivates him to do that on an everyday basis. But beyond the Embiid factor of last night, because he obviously saved them, this team allowed a 44-8 run by an inferior team in their conference. This is where I'm going to get to, where you have pointed out before the consistent hunger doesn't seem to be there for the entire team. Now, what did you see last night?
No, I agree. I agree with you. I mean, I think, you know, 44-8 is not a run, by the way. You got to come up with a new word if it's 44-8. It's a stampede or something. Like, that's not a run. Those are the kind of runs that you hear once a year that teams might give up. So that was pretty incredible to think that they could allow that run, fall down 20, and then play the way that they did to close the game. And it's what is wildly maddening about this team. And they are unfulfilling at times because you know that there's more there. And for me, the reason I think it's scary for Sixers fans, because what are you gauging them against? You're gauging them against the best teams in the Eastern Conference, right? That's who you're looking at. I don't even worry about the West. For now, Sixers should only be thinking about, you know, how do we get past Milwaukee? How do we get past Toronto? When you watch the Bucks play, the way that they play every night with foot on gas for 48 minutes, and it's really, you know, it's indicative of the way their best player plays, Giannis Antetokounmpo. The guy is on a mission to be the best player on the floor every single night. He's obsessed with it. He's obsessed with being an all-time great, not just like an MVP or a great player in the league now. He wants to be one of the greatest to ever play, and the only way to do that is to come out with that kind of intensity and commitment every night. So you gauge the Sixers against that. You gauge the Sixers even against a team like Toronto that I think for the most part when I watch Toronto, that's what I'm getting. when I watch them. I even think a team like Indiana plays that way every night. Now, they might not have as much talent, so they're going to lose some games, but you never watch them and think that, you know, what's wrong with them? Like, I get that feeling too often when I watch the Sixers. So it's something that they've got to answer. And again, a couple of wins, they've won what, four in a row now, I think.
Yes.
And that's great. And they had a losing streak right before that, and everything was getting questioned. They wanted to blow it up and everything else. And now people are like, okay, you know, they're winning some games. Over the next, I believe it's over the next, I'm going to say like seven games or something. They've got the Bucks, Lakers, and Clippers. Correct.
Yeah.
I think you're gauging yourself against the teams you should be, because going into the year, they should have expected to win a championship. So now let's see if they can maintain that level of intensity that it's going to take for 48 minutes to play the Bucks, to play the Lakers, to play the Clippers. It's going to be really interesting to see where we look at this team in about 10 days.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Fanatic.
All right, quickly, we only have a couple minutes. So what's up with Al Horford in your view?
Man, I don't know. I think that the bottom line is this. He came here. He obviously was trying to fit into something that was something he'd never really done before, because he'd played center his whole career. Now he was out there with another big. He never really has looked comfortable at all offensively. And now he's at the point, he's coming off the bench for the first time. This is something that he's probably really struggling with mentally, and he could not possibly be more out of rhythm. I don't think it's a case where his tank just completely emptied overnight. I mean, guys do hit a wall when you get to a certain age and you start to see a gradual drop-off. You're not going to see a guy drop-off to this extent from the player that he was in Boston the last couple of years to this, if that's the case. That's not it. It's much more to it than that. He just doesn't really have a comfortability with this team and playing with Embiid and playing with Simmons, probably playing for Brett. And right now, with this role coming off the bench, clearly he's hit rock bottom. That's a really bad sign for Philly, because they're going to need production out of Al Horford going down the stretch. It's not like you can say, oh, that's okay, if Embiid plays like that, we don't need him. I don't think that's the case, because they're not deep enough for that to be the case. He's going to have to play 20 minutes a night with Embiid on the bench, because that's how much Embiid's out of the game. He's going to have to get better, and he's going to have to get more comfortable. And if I'm Brett Brown, that is absolutely one of my priorities right now, is making sure we get Al Horford playing better.
All right, I want to take you off the path now, because I saw you on Get Up this morning, and yeah, you were hanging out with Swagoo and Desmond Howard, and you guys start talking about the Houston Astros, and those guys vehemently opposed to Mike Fiers. He's like public enemy number one. And listen, we all, in all macho worlds, we understand the concept of snitches get stitches, right?
Sure.
And pro sports is certainly a macho world. But let's play what you had to say here. Tyron, let's play. This is what Tim Legler had to say about this. Go ahead.
For me, I'd be surprised at any player to not agree with what David Ortiz said.
Yeah.
That's been part of a team sport. Because you know the things that you see on a daily basis and the things that go on. Now look, the world needed to know this. Major League Baseball needed to know this.
Right.
That doesn't go away from the fact
100%.
That you don't want a teammate being the guy to come forward with it. And I think every guy that's been a part of a team would feel exactly the same way.
All right. Now, so how else was it going to come out?
Well, no, here's the problem I have with it, Mike. I think anybody that tries to imply that Fiers did this out of the goodness of his heart because all of a sudden he woke up with a moral compass, that's the part of this probably more than anything that bothers me. He waited till it wasn't benefiting him anymore. He directly benefited from what they were doing. And then after the fact, when it's not helping him anymore, now he's a guy that wants to come forward with it. So,
hold it. But you know he couldn't do that as a member of the Astros. That's worse than going to another team and doing it if you dime at your own team.
Well, don't you think it would carry a hell of a lot more weight if he had it bothered him so much in the moment and at the time that's when he came forward?
Well, then he's killing his career. He might as well say sayonara to his career. He's in the Houston Astros locker room and he's going to tell on his team? That's the problem.
The problem you have is there is such a level of trust that has to take place amongst teammates in the locker room that you feel now like violated because the guy leaves and he's the one that's going to go report.
But here's the opposite side of it, Tim. He's going to a team now that could be a victim, so he's actually helping his new teammates by diming those guys out. He's bonding with his new team.
There's no question about it. I think at the end of the day, like I said, it's important that this became something that now baseball is dealing with and is aware of. But at the same time, the part of me that bothers me the most is just he was in it. He knew all about it. He used it to his benefit to help win a championship. It was benefiting him directly. And now that it is no longer benefiting him, he wants to now be the guy that goes forward with all the information. It just seems a little weird.
That's fair enough. But I'm saying it would have been impossible for him to do it the other way. And that's all I'm saying. We'll end it there.
I'm just shocked, honestly shocked, that this wasn't picked up on by other teams. When you now hear what you hear and you listen to tapes and you watch this stuff, it's really hard to believe that this wasn't all put together because it would have been a lot better for him in the way he's perceived if obviously this was picked up on by another team in the moment and it was brought to baseball.
Yeah, fans. Or a journalist.
Yeah.
Somebody investigating. You know, there's 1,000 inside baseball dudes.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to be one of those guys now that I'm watching every single Houston Astros game this year. Because there's going to be some 94s thrown up and in, I'll tell you what, on a nightly basis.
So you're caught up with the villain thing. I like it. All right, brother. 100%. Listen, man, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
Anytime, Mike. I'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Tim Legler on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fat.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.